I actually just messaged our mayor last night. She probably thinks I'm a nut, and she's cool. But I just messaged her. I'm like, just something to think about. When we come out of this, we will need more co-working spaces because commercial leases, I think, are going to decline. I'm just putting it out there. She has not responded yet.
I'm sure that that was the top fucking thing on her list to get to this morning, Gina.
Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes business sexy again.
I'm Gina Tremarco, sales trainer and consultant at Pivot 10 Results and founder of Carolina Improv Company.
And I'm Rachel Pitts, mommy, wifey, and a mortgage loan officer for U.S. Mortgage. And Keith's not here. Again. But we do love Keith Walters.
We love Keith. We miss you, Keith. This was another awesome episode. So excited that we finally, and everything happens for a reason. She said this, Jennifer Gittimer, on this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. I love her. I could talk to her forever.
She's definitely got a good energy and a really, when she tells this story about selling when she was very young. And just, I was looking at her face as she told this story, and she just, I could see her as a little girl. It's just immediately as she talked about
it. She beams. And, you know, when she was telling that story, the one thing I wanted to say that I didn't get a chance to say is, and this has come up several times, is that to me, the most successful entrepreneurs are the ones who were like child entrepreneurs. They were the ones who have the stories of like things that they did when they were 5 and 6 years old. That's been a really interesting pattern. So that story came out of nowhere. I didn't expect it. So I think, that was a fun story. I can't wait for the Warners to hear that.
Yeah. I don't know that it's not necessarily that, you have to be born that way, but I think a lot of us that are just diehard entrepreneurial type spirits are we're just like that way. We come up with, okay, I can sell this and that and this, you know?
Yeah. And she hit on, and it was so funny because we do know each other so well. As she was telling that story, I literally wrote down, sell like a child, to remind myself to talk about it. And then you brought it up. So thank you for that.
Always.
Sell like a child. So that was sort of fun. That was good. So Jennifer Gittimer, wife of Jeffrey Gittimer. I was excited because they were a big part of us getting this show off the ground. We're in our second season. I don't even know what year it is anymore. 2019.
Girl, we got it off the 2020. Obviously, we're in the middle of. It's like the dumpster fire year of the century, apparently.
Oh, my gosh. And in numerology, it's my personal year number one, which is year of new beginnings, by the way.
It's the year of your new beginnings of having your online courses launched.
Oh, there we go again. There it is. There it is. There it is.
Coming soon.
I'm so surprised you didn't bring up the book on this episode. Oh, there it is. Brought it up again. Yeah. Anyway, Jen is, I love Jen. We joke around a lot about, she's Jewish, I'm Italian, but Jewish and Italians, we feel like we're the same. Jen, she has Northeastern smarts. She's from New York City. She's New York City savvy, a rare combination that has her positioned as the next big thing in sales. I think she's already the big thing in sales. But she's not all New York. She's traveled the world. She's educated in the Midwest. She's spoken to audiences from coast to coast. And she helps salespeople, sales managers, sales leaders, and sales organizations improve their sales programs. She's also got this really cool thing going on for business babes that we talk about on this episode. So any women in business, I think you're going to really like to hear about that Jennifer talks about.
Yeah, definitely.
My favorite takeaway, I'll give you my one takeaway, is she said, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. If you don't ask, you don't get. Any takeaways for you?
I think my biggest takeaway would probably be that the advice she says near the end of that she wishes she had received, which is just be more of yourself. And we hear that messaging sometime, but it's so true. And it's some people learn it sooner than later, but just be yourself. Stop trying to be what you think you should be. Just be yourself. Yeah. And you will be so much more successful because you are uniquely you. and you have something that no one else has. So do that.
Yeah. And it was a nice little surprise at the end. I don't think it's going to, you never know what Doug will do, but it was a nice little surprise as we, after we ended the podcast, that we got a chance to see and talk to Jeffrey Gittimer in his fun, cantankerous way. That's always fun because you don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. That is a man who is always 100%, if not more, of himself. Mm-hmm. And has been a big role model for me for years and years and years, which is what led us to Women Your Mother Warned You About. He's a big proponent of women in business. We love him. So let's sit back and listen to this fun, fun interview with Jen Gittimer. I'm so excited to welcome Jen, now known as Jen Gittimer, to Women Your Mother.
What was she known as before?
Jen Gluckow. Gluckow.
People would always get it wrong, and I'd be like, it rhymes with luck, but it's Gluck. And then ow. Like, it's not that hard. And I'd have to, like, try and break it down. Gittimer, so much easier.
You're like, I just want to get married for
please,
the name.
Please, give me something. It's easy. It, like, Smith would have been really good. No one messes up Smith. Right?
I had my roommate in high school. Her last name was Zweifel. Crazy, awesome last name. And she married a guy named Smith. She's now Smith. And I was like, oh, man, Zweifel's so good. But she's like, I love him.
Gina, I noticed that mug.
I did it for
she
you.
She has her Cellar Dye mug. I love it.
Rachel
needs
one.
Yeah, we'll ship
one.
You one. Send me your address.
Well, speaking of Cellar Dye, I mean, this is like you're part of our, like you're like a podcast mama for aww. Us because you were part of our birth.
I'm a proud mom. I'm a proud mom.
you were part of our yes. birth because we were born on the network. Mm-hmm. So it's so, that is so cool to have you. We're going to, I think the three of us are going to go on crazy tangents. And I think that's cool because it fits the theme of the show. Women Your Mother Warned You About. We are women your mother warned you about. We're pretty sure you're a woman our mother warned us about or something like that.
Yeah. Well, only time will tell.
Do you consider yourself a woman right. your mother warned you about, Jen?
She didn't warn me about me. She'd warn the others about me. Yes.
And why is that?
Well, I'm ballsy. I'm from New York. I say it like it is. And some people love that. Some people hate that. And that's just how it is. I'm going to tell you if something's great, and I'm going to tell you something's... Are you allowed to curse on this thing?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell you something shit, and I'm going to be nice about it, but I'm not going to really sugarcoat it. And so some people, you know, don't like that.
Oh, we understand that, don't we, Rachel? That's what gave us birth, is wanting to be able to say exactly what we think and not worry. I mean, we still worry. I don't want to say worry. I will say personally, I still get my feelings hurt once in a while when people don't like me.
I think everyone does deep down. Like, you know, there's so much going on with the pandemic we've lived through, and I have seen more people be apologetic right now in what they're saying than ever before. Like, I will see people get on these big, you know, these big digital summits, and they'll be like, yeah, you can make money right now. You can make sales right now. I mean, I'm really, you know, no offense to all the people who are dying, and I don't want to offend anyone. That is still a terrible thing. But you can still run your business. And like, they're so worried that people are going to take it the wrong way. And it's like, just say it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there are people who are going to take it the wrong way. And you know this, that's not your audience.
Right. Those aren't your people.
Right. Every time someone gets mad at me for anything I might say on social media about getting irritated about small businesses trying to cut through all the crap of this, people are like, but you're not dying. I'm like, okay, well, I want something to live for when we get through this.
Right.
Which would require my business to still be running. I don't mean to be mean.
So I broke a nail yesterday And I always have like the most perfectly manicured fingers.
It looks so sad.
I tried to fix it with some glitter just to like distract.
Well, I have this nail kit coming. But so I literally was like, okay, this is horrible. Like, I am so upset because I pride myself on being put together and having, you know, perfect, so to speak, nails. And then I thought, I took a second thought. I'm like, if I post this on Instagram, I'm going to get so many hate comments. Like, people are dying. Why are you upset about your nail? And I'm like, well, I am. I am.
It's the truth, though. I wish there's a really great video on TikTok. If you're on there, I'll have to, if you find me, I'll share it with you. It's this woman. She's like going around in her van and she has like this plastic thing and she's like, oh, you got $50 you put your hand through. And then I know it's totally politically incorrect, but it's so funny because I'm like, where is this bitch? Please come to my house. I will pay you whatever you want to.
I'll put
my hands through the van and in the van and do my nails. Please, please, please. $100.
Wait a second. I was just about to post this and I knew it was going to piss people off. I'm still going to post it. Looking for tips. Redhead looking for tips for gray roots. Asking for a friend.
I was actually going to post a poll this morning that said, ladies, guys, shut the fuck up. We don't need your opinion. Ladies, which one are you more concerned about? The state of your nails or the state of your roots? Because I think that would be a good discussion.
State of my fucking roots, because we do a lot of video. I mean, hello.
I had to take care of my roots last week because I go like 2.5 weeks, I'm dead. So I convinced my hair salon to sell me my formula.
Thank you.
And yes. So literally I'm like, if you don't sell it, I'm going to go get that Revlon crap. I'm going to go to CVS. Yes. I'm going to go to Target. You're going to spend 6 months fixing my hair. And she's like, Jen, we can't sell it to you because like 16 reasons. I'm like, this is your business right now. Pivot. Sell it to me. I'll pay anything. Like, figure it out. So they put together a kit and it had like all the things I needed, including the brush. She didn't tell me I was going to need Vaseline or coconut oil to do the thing on your, Luckily, I had coconut oil.
I was not aware of that tip.
I know. And it came out just fine. I didn't do anything in the back because no one sees that.
I think that is one thing that is going to be the most interesting of all with this whole getting through the pandemic is the changes that become obvious to us in business, especially. Like, okay, so you just discovered, you know what, that's not actually as hard as it seems. And and businesses as well finding out, this has been a big discussion with me with various people lately, like businesses finding out that actually their employees can be effective from home. So will they still need as much overhead for office space?
Yeah.
So there'll be some interesting shifts.
I actually just messaged our mayor last night. She probably thinks I'm a nut. But she loves you and I, Rachel, and she's coming on the show. And she's cool. But I just messaged her. I'm like, just something to think about. When we come out of this, we will need more co-working spaces. Because commercial leases, I think, are going to decline. I'm just putting it out there. She has not responded yet.
I'm sure that was the top fucking thing on her list to get to this morning, Gina.
Most important, like email from Gina.
Let me put the state of the entire city on the back burner and get to Gina's important shit.
You know, I'm just trying to provide a little levity, a little distraction from the drama.
She actually was watching my live yesterday. I saw her watching my live, which was good
because
she knows that she's behind the platform that I stand on for domestic abuse. So, yep. Oh, it was cool. I saw her pop on. I was like, ooh.
She likes us.
She, I've seen a lot of really cool business pivots, like really cool that I'm like, oh, this is not just a pivot for right now. This is something some of them can continue to be doing after and have an additional revenue
stream.
What
are some of those pivots that you've seen?
Okay, so, well, the hair one that I told you about, like, they could continue to sell those kits because they're sometimes booked out so much. Like, let people do it at home once
you
know,
in a while.
In between.
Yeah, hello, Brittany.
They're still making.
Brittany, we love you. But please give me my hair color.
I think there are some laws that DHEC has in place. Maybe it's not DHEC, but there's some laws that they don't like to let just every Tom, Dick, and Harry and Mary Sue have these chemicals. I think that's one of the reasons that they have an aversion to that.
There's some regulations in place.
Regulations.
I only know that because my ex is a hairstylist.
Gina will talk to the mayor. It's all good. Gina will talk to the mayor. So, okay, another one is like my yoga studio. Is doing live stream classes four or five times a day. So they took all of their normal class schedule and they put it on live stream, and they're getting hundreds of people to show up on Zoom. And now they can service people not just locally, but from all over the world. Which, why would they not continue that as an added bonus, as an added subscription service after this?
And the interesting thing is that this technology has been available for a while, and a lot of these businesses like yoga studios have known about it. I mean, I'm gonna throw myself out there too. I have avoided online training. Now my hand is forced into it.
We should talk, because online training and launching it is like my obsession.
Oh.
And I'm really into it. Like, you have
Please
no idea.
Help me.
Please help her, because I like daily, I'm like sending out messages to Gina, like, Gina, this is your time to shine. You have such good training. Everything has built you up to this moment. Get your fucking courses online now. Start today. Help me out, Jen.
Yeah. Yeah. Like 100%. And so now all these speakers who are used to going to a room full of people traveling, popping in, giving their talk, being thanked, and then getting back on a plane and going someplace else, right? They're used to that. And now they're all trying to figure out how to put their stuff online. And I did that about a year and a half ago for Jeffrey, my husband's stuff. I had recognized that it was kind of time for us to put stuff digitally. And so I literally studied it. Like, you have no idea. It was my second job, 20 hours a week minimum. Like, studied how to do it most effectively, took action. We launched something, the same thing three times, because you want to rinse and repeat. And now we have a system. And, like, it's one of the things during this time where I'm now stepping up and trying to help other women who want to get their stuff online for that exact
You're hired.
Purpose. I wasn't even selling. I just want to chat with you
guys. That's the best way to sell, though, is to not necessarily have an agenda in mind, but not necessarily be so pushy. And I think that's where a lot of salespeople fail. And they're like, push, push, push.
Yeah, again, yeah. Going along those lines of being able to pivot.
Yes.
Organically. And I think the three of us are all on the same page when it comes to that, of not being salesy. Like I'm running this Facebook group. I'm running this Zoom call every Monday at noon for small businesses. I asked the chamber, hey, you know, what are you guys doing? And they had their hands full. I said, well, I'm going to start this. And if you guys want to be part of it. So the chamber got on board and they push it out and they promote it. And all I'm doing is showing up and being of service and facilitating.
Yes.
And building a different audience in a different tribe and not selling anything yet.
That's the key word, is yet.
Yet.
So I believe right now you can sell, but so I've always believed in giving value first and showing up and giving and being of service. And now more than ever, you need, in my opinion, you need to be even more of service and establish those relationships even deeper before you ask for a sale, before you invite someone to any kind of opportunity, because they will value, these people are showing up on Mondays to see you and to get light, because honestly, Gina, like, you're like a, just like a beam of light and fresh air and literally I can probably like feel you through the screen during those meetings, just making people laugh and challenging their thoughts. And people need that right now more than anything. And I think that right now is a time where people are going to either emerge as leaders or they're going to be kind of left behind. And it's how you're showing up and standing up. And there's a lot of people who are like leaders or were leaders, in my opinion, before this to me. And they're like, well, you know, however people handle this is totally fine. Some people are going to be like in their own world. And just because they're not showing up and stepping up doesn't make them less of a leader. And like, okay, you can think that, but who are people going to remember when this thing is over? They're going to remember the people like you guys who are stepping up and showing up and serving up even more than ever before, because you helped them get through this time.
Exactly. Amen. And it's done authentically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's done authentically.
Because you're a kind person.
The other side of it is I was talking with my husband yesterday that I take the weekends like a weekend, but during the week, I actually have a more consistent routine right now with like how I work out and how I run my days. And I still make prospecting calls every day and log them on my log sheet, because they're not necessarily prospecting calls as far as selling, but I'm just calling to check up on people and let them talk, like people in my field that I'm interested in doing business with. Just the conversation is, hey, how are you? And then in mortgage and real estate, I just encourage these people, hey, you know, keep the faith, because when we get through with this, in our market at least, it's going to be bananas, explosion, crazy around here with people wanting to move to the area. We're a low cost vacation area, like people that ran out of income, you know, or had less income, they're going to still want to go on vacation, and we're the perfect spot. Like, we're going to be crushing.
Yeah.
So I just like use encouragement, and people are like, yeah, yeah. It's just, there's conversations that can be had. Like you said, Jen, that after this, they'll remember that you gave a shit.
Exactly. That's all it is. They will remember that you gave a shit.
And to your point also, Jen, is that they will remember the leaders.
Yes.
I found this interesting. So the chamber sends out a daily email, right? It's the update on what's going on, regulations, closings, you name it, webinars. And I yesterday or the day before I opened it, I was like, here are all the upcoming webinars from our partner investors, right? So anyone who's a member of the chamber is an investor. Well, all of a sudden, all these other training people are now doing these webinars, and all people I know and all lovely people and all great people. And I was like, oh, well, look at that. What did I start? Which to me was just like, that to me was awesome. Good. If I led the way for people to, even told my own business coach this, I'm like, you're supposed to have a chamber workshop this month. I'm like, why are you not taking it online? I'm like, just call the chamber and say you want to put it online. Just put it online.
Right.
So right. helping lead those other businesses, especially women, through something that was uncomfortable for them and that they were stuck in their status quo of how they did it, that is going to be remembered.
I'm here. Yeah, 100%. And I'm hearing a lot of women right now. This pains me. This just like to my core, they're offering their stuff for free because they feel bad charging during this time. Now, when you get something for free versus paying for it, like how much more invested are you when you actually put some money up or when you actually have some stake in the game? And the world still needs to go around. Money is energy. And so when I see these people, like I had to call a friend and say, stop. She's like, what? I'm like, you don't owe anybody free coaching. That's your time. You don't owe that. She's like, but these people, they can't afford it and they need coaching. I go, well, then find people who can afford it. And those other people who can't afford it will talk to a friend, like, you know, or put a free video out that helps all the people at once. But don't do individual one-on-one things, one-on-one calls where that's your bloodline for your business.
Yeah, that's why I do the group thing once a week. That's my my give back. That's creating, you know, some equity for me, sweat equity, credibility. But people are still spending money. I'm still spending money that I don't have.
I know. People are definitely still spending money. The key is it needs to be relevant. So both your messaging and your offer right now needs to be relevant. You can't ignore what's going on. Like, it's not an elephant in the room. It's going on for the entire world. So let's just address it and say, and meet people where they are. And if the messaging and the offer is relevant and the relationship is there, I really like alliteration, relevancy, relationships. And then the third thing I always talk about is you need to have belief. It's not an R word, but belief in what you're selling. And believe in yourself. And if you believe that they're going to be better off, then you have every right to ask for money for something you're providing.
Amen, sister.
Well, and people are more invested. When people put skin in the game, then they're actually more invested. I was listening to, I have a morning, a mailing list that I'm a part of, I've been a part of for years. And he, Darren Hardy, and he did a little talk the other morning about investing in yourself and paying money for coaching. And the reason is that if people who are paying for your service, they have money, skin in the game, they're not going to leave. So if you're doing a free webinar, then people might get on and go, eh, and then not stay till the end. And to his point, he paid for this very expensive meeting webinar. And he said a lot of it was stuff he already knew and it wasn't a big deal. But then in the middle of that webinar, he had this brilliant idea that was worth all the money for being there. But if he hadn't have paid for it, he wouldn't have had that realization. So sometimes it's just staying to the end. And I know, like Gina, when Gina and I first got together, she does these really amazing coaching weekends, which she's going to have online soon, right, Gina? And I know that a lot of the time, those coaching weekends, there was a lot of build up and a lot of work and a lot of stuff of like, well, what's going to happen with all this? And then there's that one moment that you're like, oh, that was so worth it for that light bulb to come on. Like that moment of realization, that breakthrough that you need to take your business to the next level. And people won't necessarily get there if they're not invested in the time, because it's so easy to like go squirrel and get off of some free thing, right?
Yeah, especially right now when everyone's home, you have no accountability even to yourself sometimes, and you can just hop into the next window and what's going on in Messenger and what's going on Facebook, and you know it. But when you pay for something, all of a sudden you perk up and pay more attention.
For sure. Hey guys, sorry to interrupt this amazing episode, but I just wanted to give a really quick shout out to Dermavogue, who is our fantastic sponsor. Dr. Turek and his staff over at Dermavogue.com help Gina and I to look and feel our very best. So if you're curious about little magical secrets that Gina and I use to look so amazing and also to feel amazing and navigate this difficult world, check them out, Dermavogue.com. Thanks, Dermavogue.
Hey, Jen, why don't we, if you don't mind, so we don't miss out on all the stuff that we wanted to hear from you, let's go back and rewind and talk about your sales career and how you got where you are today. Because we were in pandemic tangent land, but I want to hear about
it's totally juicy cool. stuff.
Yeah,
though.
Super good. I want to hear about how you started. I know you started in Saks Fifth Avenue as a sales associate. Is that your first sales gig?
So my first true sales gig or entrepreneurial gig was when I was probably about 5 years old. My grandma would take me to the supermarket on Saturdays with her, and I thought it was boring. So I started to like look at what was going on outside, and I realized there was all this foot traffic going into the supermarket. So I decided to start for the next weekend. I would bring my box of beads and make bracelets. And I would sell these bracelets outside the supermarket. And what I realized was people didn't want the bracelets that I made. They wanted custom bracelets for them. They wanted their bracelets, right? And so because that's what they perceived to be more valuable than what I thought was cool, which is totally fine. It was a great lesson. And so I would have them pay me in advance. They trusted this little kid, because who wouldn't? And then the following week, I would deliver their bracelet. And right outside the supermarket, same time, same place. And so that was my real first get into sales kind of thing. And then I was always competitive. Like when we had, I went to a Jewish school growing up, so we didn't sell like the Girl Scout cookie kind of things, but we had a huge contest like that for a different thing. And I wanted the boom box. I mean, I was going to get that boom box no matter what. And I just went on it. I called every one of my parents' friends. They had no idea who I was. And some of them, right? They had never met me. I didn't care. I called their clients. I called everybody. And I sold them cookies. I was like the top cookie salesperson at the school. I think I hit like a record for decades. Like, no joke. That's how and obsessed I got with it. And so I realized, like, I really liked selling. And as I started to get into it, like, I did work at Saks Fifth Avenue in New York City on the men's floor. And I did style men and stuff like that. And I worked at boutiques and I worked in my parents' business growing up. And then various other jobs that all involved sales, or I made them involve sales. I realized the thing I liked about it the most was that by being able to effectively communicate and transfer my message around what I offered, I was in turn able to give them something for an exchange of money that would help them. So I ended up for 6.5 years selling educational software to schools that helped teachers identify where kids were struggling with reading and then pinpoint the exact instruction that they needed right then to then get back on track for grade level or above. And it made such a huge difference in not only the teachers' lives, but also the kids' lives. And I realized the more I sold, the more kids I was helping. And when you start to think of sales in that way, it motivates you, or at least it motivated the hell out of me. And it just made me want to tell everyone what we had, because if I didn't tell them, I was like doing a disservice. And I think sometimes people are afraid to share their message. And when you have such strong belief in it, no matter what it is, like I sold Cutco knives. And I truly, to this day, still believe that they are the best knives, the best cutlery on the planet. And so it was so easy for me to call every single person I knew because, and people they knew, because I wanted them to have this gift of the thing I offered because it could help them. And so it just really, to me, all comes down to that. But yeah, that's a long ass history of what I've done.
I want to touch really on this important thing that you said twice, Jen, which is that you called everybody and you didn't care, like what you said when you called about the cookies. And Gina does a really great demonstration of selling like a child. And I think that that's one thing that holds a lot of salespeople back, is they're like qualifying who they're calling. Like, oh, maybe I shouldn't call this person. They're too big for me to call or whatever. You know, you should call every single person you know, right? Because you don't know if they need your knives. They don't know if you need your service. They don't. It's one thing right. that we do to ourselves to hold ourselves back.
And you don't know who they know. Like, you don't know.
Yes.
You don't know. They might not need you, but I will still make the call because I'll say, hey, who do you know?
Who do you know? So that's so powerful. I was selling to a school in New Jersey, and I usually would sell to multiple schools, but this principal was very interested. And so I made the trek out there. It was like, I think, 2 hours outside of New York. And I get there and I pitch him, and he's like, I love this, but I cannot afford it right now. And it was like real true, you know, he has the funds or he doesn't. He's a school, right? He's not going to like pull the money out of his pocket. So he's like, I will 100% do this next school year. We will budget for it. But this school year we don't. And I'm thinking like, oh man, I just drove 2 hours out here. I really shouldn't have done that for like one sale. What was I thinking? You know, like whatever. And I said, oh, that's okay. I totally get it. I'll put you on the docket for next year. So who else is in the area? What other principals do you know that you could introduce me to that may be able to use my service? Because while I'm here, I'd love to go chat with them and talk to them. And I just expected him to say like, go to this school or go to that school. He goes, hold on. He picks up the phone. Direct dials another principal that's literally like 6 minutes away. And he goes, hey, I have a girl here. She has something good. You need to see it and then you need to buy it. I'm sending her over to your school right now. and he hangs up and he says, okay, here's where you're going to go. Here's the principal. She's expecting you. I'm like, wait, you just called a principal? Like I did everything to get principals on the phone and he just like dialed a number and he's like, yeah, they have more funding than we do and they can afford it and they'll buy right now. And I was like, all right, let's do this. And then she ended up referring me to like three or four other schools. And so the power of who do they know is so huge.
You know, Anthony Iannarino referred to this as borrowing credibility when we had him on the show, because, you know, I had pursued him to get him on the show. And part of the pursuit was, so we're part of the Sell or Die Network, Jeffrey Gittimer. And he's like, okay. And we talked about it on that episode. He's like,
I love
all you
that.
Had to do was mention Gittimer. And that was it. I figured you must be okay.
And if right, if his friend thinks highly of you and he doesn't know you, then if his friend does, I trust the friend, so you must be cool. Which he was right.
Which eventually got us to Jeb.
See, there you go.
Who's now a repeat guest on the show.
What?
And says we make him blush, but he still comes back.
I have a feeling you guys make all the boys blush.
Oh, we try. You know,
we try.
Actually, he has been putting together an online sales or some new selling during crisis, I think. And he's like throwing it together really quick to be relevant. And that's another way to pivot.
I've been buying his stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Jeffrey's creating a recovery course.
And
yeah, we've been pre-selling it to companies that already want to buy it before, you know, everything comes back, because they know they're going to need to figure out how to recover.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's pivot and talk about what you're working on right now, including your new marriage. And I like to focus on recovery, but let's talk about your marriage first.
So my new marriage is almost 1 year old.
Wow.
I don't know when you're out of newlywed part, but we got married in our friend's backyard. We were supposed to have a wedding in Paris, and just for various reasons, put that off and said, we're getting married anyway. Let's throw together this very last minute wedding and tell our friends and family who we'd love to be there that we're getting married in like 48 hours, although it wasn't really 48 hours, but it felt like that, I'm sure, to everyone else, including me. And I think it was like 3 weeks. And it was just awesome. It was awesome. My favorite part, besides obviously like getting married, there were some really funny things. Like, I was walking down this grass hill that was kind of steep. And so I decided to switch out my stilettos for glittery Converse wedged sneakers so that I wouldn't fall. And as I'm walking down the aisle, I had this terrified look on my face because I have a fear of falling, and I thought I was going to fall. And Jeffrey went to like get me sooner than we had planned. Like, I was going to stop and pause, and it was going to be so dramatic. And then he was going to come get me, and he like came to get me before I even like got halfway down the hill. And I'm like, what's up? And he's like, you looked really nervous. And I was like holding him so tight. And I'm like, oh, I'm not nervous about marrying you. I just thought I was going to fall.
He's like, just going to catch you. Don't run away.
Yeah, it was really funny to me. And then the rabbi almost fell, like his hat, like almost blew off into the pool that was behind him. It was just like a lot of comedy, and it was great.
That sounds like the two of you.
Yeah.
How is life with Jeffrey?
Life is great. He is always on. I'm not sure how that's possible because I'm way more introverted. Most people don't think of me as an introvert, but like if I could hide after a networking meeting, if I could go take like a 3-hour nap, I would. And I am very well at being an extroverted introvert, but he is an extrovert, and he is always on and always wanting to talk to every single person. And I'm like, can we go? More people. But it's great. It's great. It's challenging. And in terms of like, we challenge each other's thoughts. We come up with great business ideas. We have a ton of fun. We're traveling. What's not to love?
So a couple things. You mentioned the recovery program, but we also want to talk about, I stumbled down this on Facebook in one of your live streams, your breakthrough business babes. So you pick which one you want to talk about first.
I'll tell you about the babes. I'll tell you about the babes. So I love networking. And when I was living in New York, I would start these networking groups. I started a group that grew from like zero people to, well, me, so one, to like around 50 people who came consistently every week because there was an attendance policy. And we just kept growing. And sometimes we'd have 80 people in the room because we'd have visitors. I mean, it was incredible. And not only was that how I grew my business, but I made lifelong connections of people that to this day, I haven't been back in, you know, 5 years or so. To this day, I talk to some of them on a weekly basis. They will be lifelong friends. You know, I've been to their weddings and just life events and business stuff. And so I realized the power of networking and community. And I had been thinking about how I was going to create some sort of group, and was it going to be online? It wasn't going to be in person. And what was it going to be for the longest time? And I just kept holding myself back because I didn't have all the answers, which, by the way, is wrong. Don't do that. Bad advice. Don't listen to that. So
that's usually what I do. So thank you.
Right. And so I decided it's on my heart. I'm just going to throw it out there and create this free Facebook group and bring all the babes together, these breakthrough business babes, these babes who are working their butts off right now, getting through this, really wanting those next level breakthroughs, wanting to step it up and get to the next level. And what does that look like? And where is your community? And who is your support? And within 12 hours, I kid you not, within 12 hours of creating this free group, I was like, oh my God, I got the entire business model. I know exactly what I want to do with my life right now. And I know exactly how I want to pivot. And it all came together. And that realization would not have happened if I didn't do the thing that was on my heart, if I didn't trust my intuition and my gut and just say, I don't know what I'm doing with this, but I'm just going to throw it out there. And so do you want to know what the thing is?
Yes. Yes. We're dying to know.
Okay. So it's going to be more of a VIP community, an online networking community. There's going to be two networking meetings a month. I'm going to be like the Yenta from Fiddler on the Roof. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. That's going to be me because that already is me in my real life. And so I'm going to be making these business matches for the babes that join this group, the Breakthrough Business Babe VIP community. I'm going to be not just hosting these online networking meetings, but also matching people who need to be matched. So I might say, Gina, you need to meet this person because da da da. And it's like a win-win match. Like they need to meet you. You need to meet them. Rachel, you need to meet this person. And here's why. And it's going to be an online community.
My mouth is dropped because all these ideas, you know, because I'm an improviser, all these ideas came to me. I'm like, what a model. Because
thanks.
It's like dating. You could do this whole Yenta dating thing. Like, who do you need to be hooked up with?
Exactly.
Tell me your wish list. I will give us the checklist of everything they have to have on the list. What are the non-negotiables?
Tell me your non-negotiables.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's funny because everyone I've told this to is like, oh my God, this is so you. This is like, when you are launching something, anything in your business, you need to feel total in alignment, you know, and I'm sure you guys can feel like the shift in my energy, my excitement, because I know that this is the thing. And I am like so excited for it. So the waitlist page is up. We're going to start accepting applications this week. And I have to act fast. Like it's all fast, inspired action. And that's a really good thing for you as the listener. When you have an idea that like, that your gut is telling you just go for this, you have to go for it. You have to take fast, inspired action or you will keep double guessing yourself and overthinking things to the point of inaction. And so I am literally like just going with it.
It's improv.
Oh yeah. You got to jump on it and just jump with both feet.
It really is. It's really just throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm envisioning 2,000 members in this group before the end of the year.
Put it out there. Tell the universe.
I am telling everyone I know.
Where will people be? Where will women be able to? Where would the babes be able to find this information?
Let's check that out.
Let's just find out where that. I love that you aren't sure because it's so fresh.
Let me get that link.
Yeah. If you don't have it off the top of your head, Doug will put it in the show notes. We just want to make sure we promote it, and maybe we want to apply.
I definitely will.
Well, I think I think it's going to be breakthroughbusinessbabe.com/waitlist. I will double check that and get it to you, but breakthroughbusinessbabe.com/waitlist. Yeah.
That's exciting.
And yeah, I'm super stoked. Each member is going to have 5 minutes, at different times, but during each meeting, one member will present on their business and go deeper into their business. And every member will get time to give their commercial and say who they are and who they want to meet and all that jazz. So I'm so excited to bring women together who are doing amazing things need to stick together. And I don't know if you guys hear this because you interview a lot of amazing women, but I've been on Zoom calls recently with a lot of females who say, I wish I had other female business friends who were doing the cool things, who, you know, were thinking big, who were trying things and being a leader right now. And I only know a couple and they don't know each other. And so my feeling is the exponential power of bringing these women together is going to be just so huge.
Oh, huge. You know, Jen, I think of myself a little as the Italian Yenta in connecting people. And we've talked about this.
Yes.
Jewish-Italian. We're kind of the same.
We're
the same. And we've had several amazing women on this show who are like really powerful, successful women. Three in particular that come to mind. Jennifer Brown, Jacqueline Jasinowski and Tina Clements, and they all live New York, New Jersey. And on my last trip, I was in New York, well, really Jersey, in December for New Year's Eve and my birthday. And JJ and Tina knew each other, but they didn't know Jennifer Brown. So I came to town and organized a dinner so that they all could meet each other. I'm like, you guys all live here.
Super jealous. Side note.
So you guys should be hanging out. Sorry. Now we gotta wait to go back. And now we do these occasional, we call them the women posse calls to just talk. Because what came out of that dinner was, it was interesting that everyone was like, I just feel like there's no other women I can talk to. And it was fascinating that, but that's also what Creative Women Your Mother Warned You About, because Rachel and I were sort of feeling the same way, that people didn't really get us and who do you go talk to?
Yeah, we were drilling right down our, who is our ideal avatar the other day. And I said, yeah, like, and it just came out that it's so true. Like, we're the powerful, powerful women. It's super type A, super motivated and excited and always positive. And we cry in the shower sometimes because we have no one to talk to. Like, you know,
or on the kitchen floor.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I have been crying on the kitchen floor.
Not lately. You're good now, right?
No, I just only had one cry on the kitchen floor.
You have a dog, right?
I have two dogs. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes it easy for them to lick your tears. It's all good.
But, you know, I don't even know how long ago that was, Gina. It's such a blur. Like, was it 2 weeks ago?
I know.
Ago,
it was actually like ago? It was actually like a week ago that I had that meltdown. It was like all it took was like one thing that triggered me on top of everything. I mentioned I had a friend over and her 10-year-old was with her. And I'm like, you have to leave. Because I did not want to break down in front of the child. I'm like, aww. And then she's like, I was trying to help you. I'm like, I totally love you for that. I'm like, I just didn't think your son needed to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to still like me. We're both Capricorns and we have the same exact birthday. So I just want to make sure he loves me. So
I'm sure he does.
Let's talk recovery.
Yeah.
Let's talk recovery. How can businesses recover coming out of this? Because when this airs, this will be May, and praise be, I hope we are in recovery.
On the way to recovery, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot of businesses already right now, as we're recording this, are even on their way to recovery as they're figuring out their new normal, how they're working, you know, all the online tools that they needed to connect with each other. And hopefully by then the government will have sent small businesses some money, because I think that will help. But it's really about the relationships and what you're doing to invest in those relationships. I don't mean invest money. I mean invest your thoughts, invest your time, invest your goodwill, and how you're setting the stage to help them. Because you have to think about your customer and where they are right now, wherever right now is, whenever right now is, wherever they are, right? And you have to literally like be the Cinderella, like put on their shoe, okay? And figure out, like, take a walk in their steps. What do they need right now? And if you can answer that question, you can begin to recover more easily, because you can figure out, here's what they need and here's how I can help them. And it may be a little bit different than what you were doing. It may be the same but different, but you have to figure out your new role in that. And it's not easy to take a walk in your customer's shoes. If you have no idea what they need, here's the trick. It's kind of old school. You pick up the phone, you call them, and you say, hey, I wanted to talk about what's going on right now and how you're doing. And you listen. That's it. You don't ask a bajillion questions. You just listen to what they're saying. And Rachel, it goes back to what you were saying at the beginning of the show, where you're calling your current customers, your former customers, people you know, all the relationships you have in a prospecting kind of way, right? Where you're not trying to sell them anything. You're not prospecting. You're more so nurturing that relationship, I think. I would call it nurturing and maintaining that relationship and hearing what they're going through, because they're going to need to be heard. And I know that's kind of girly, because a lot of men don't not all men, but a lot of men don't think that, like, well, I don't need to hear them out. I don't need to, you know, but yes, they need to be heard. And you should be using their language to talk to them in exactly the place they're in and figure out how you can help them from there.
And what an advantage for women, because we are, yes, wired to be better listeners. Sorry, guys, for the most part. And so this is a great time to take advantage of that and really just be in the listen. You can still, you know, I'm not, if you want to go sell, but now more than ever, the empathy piece, the listening piece. And Rachel probably hit me over the head when I say this. So I had a client reach out to me yesterday with, like, hey, I have an idea. Could you take some of your team building online? Because I'm pretty sure I could talk my boss into spending money on that. We have an engagement committee put together now on how we can help our employees through all of this.
And so then what?
I was like, yep, I will have something for you tomorrow. Yeah.
Good girl.
There you go. But yes, and it's exactly what you're doing with the chambers. You're organizing these sessions and you're listening, you know, and you're hearing what they're saying. And what do you call your people?
Which people? That group?
Warners.
Oh, our Warners. Our Warners. Yeah, the Warners.
Yeah, like Warners, you need to do the same thing. If you don't want to host a big group, that's fine. Call your customers one-on-one and find out what is going on. You may think you know, but I guarantee you, if you listen to their words, you can use them in whatever you're going, not in like a manipulative way, in a helpful way, because they will be able to hear it.
Yeah. And I also, with that group I do, there's a survey attached to every meeting for them to fill out before they come to the meeting. And in that survey, it's like, what's your biggest issue right now? Or what do you want some help with from the group? Because I just facilitate and collaborate the ideas of the group for each other. And so they're giving me their exact words.
That data is gold.
Gold.
That data is huge.
Gold. And that was like the kind of the agreement I made with the chamber. I said, I'm going to collect this data and share it with you.
Cool.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
That's a pretty cool, exciting thing.
Nicely done. Hey, Jen, before we let you go, we have some signature questions we like to ask our guests. So number one is, how would you describe the word sexy? What is sexy?
It's hot. It's on fire.
On fire. So do tell. And more details.
On fire.
It is something that is within every female, probably every human being. You just have to let it out. Let your sexy out, people.
There you go. Don't hold back. Don't hold back the sexy.
No. Yeah. Let it out.
What would be the greatest advice you've ever received from a woman or from a man?
So like from a human being?
Well, we started out asking from a woman and then we threw in from a man because sometimes we're like, men have a, or sometimes men have good advice.
Sometimes.
Especially Keith Walters.
Or Jeffrey.
We love you, Keith. Or Jeffrey. Or Doug.
So when I was very young, my mom said, if you don't ask, you don't get. And she ironically said it like right near the holidays. And so I doubled my holiday list that year.
Nice, nice, nice.
I think it backfired on her, but it became a sales mantra for me. If you don't ask, you don't get. What's the worst that could happen if you ask? They say no. Guess what? By not asking, they're already saying no. So you're already getting that answer by not asking. So I just love that because it's so simple. If you don't ask, you don't get. Just freaking ask.
Very nice. And what about the advice that you wish you had been given?
Oh, there's so much. I think the advice that I wish I had been given, okay, here's what I'm going to go with. You don't need permission to be yourself. Just be yourself, and whoever likes you, whoever doesn't like you, screw them. Like, just be yourself. And I think that especially girls growing up need to hear that more often.
Oh yeah, you can say that.
I just had a flashback to Gabrielle. I did a podcast with their daughter.
I love the kid.
it's adorbs. Hard though, because I think that's one thing. I mean, my daughter's a tween, and I see her. She's so creative and brilliant in the things that she's creative and brilliant in. And she sometimes gets outside of her box thinking that she needs to be brilliant in that over there that somebody else is doing. And, you know, it takes so long. It took me so long, still taking me a long time to believe what you just said, Jen, that just be 100% yourself and your tribe will be attracted to you.
Yes. 100%. You know, it's so interesting because all those kids right now, right, they're so obsessed with TikTok. And what do you do on TikTok if you want to have a good video, according to a kid? This is what I've been told by an 11-year-old, is you need to copy the dance moves that the kids in the Hay House or whatever that fancy schmancy house is that they all live in, the creator house, that they're doing. And I'm like, but why do you need to copy it? Why can't you make your own? And she's like, no, Jen, like that's how your video gets views. You need to copy these guys. And I'm like, but I don't want to copy them. Like, I want to just you have amazing dance moves. Make up your own dance. And so now it's kind of interesting because to me, that's a life lesson, right? You don't need to copy all these people that are, you know, at the top of the social media ring, whatever you want to call it. And all these kids on TikTok think that you do. And when she started incorporating her own dance moves in there, she actually started to enjoy it more. Because now she'll be like, hey, look at this dance I made up for TikTok. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't get a lot of views. She's having fun.
What a great lesson, because that is such a lesson in like, what is your unique selling proposition, right? Like what is your differentiator? And I've been watching TikTok because I'm over Facebook and like, I just want to laugh. So I've been watching all these TikTok. I'm like, oh, it's the same dance. Oh, it's the same dance. Oh, it's the same. I'm so
savage.
Bored. Is there something? Savage. Is there? And I'm like trying to get the moves down and I'm dancing with myself and I'm like, I am so bored with this. Like, do something different. Disrupt.
Totally
be yourself and have a little it's kind of fascinating.
I'm guilty of learning the dances because for me that's the fun part.
We all are.
The fun for me, it's exactly the same, Gina, that it's a fun distraction But I have been trying to come up with, as we talked about at the very beginning of this, like, how can this be utilized? Because it's huge right now. There's a lot of people flocking over to TikTok because it's a lot more fun than some of the some of the doom and gloom that people are focused on Facebook. So Gina and I are working on it.
We need like a Warner. We need a Warner dance.
Yes. So what I've seen like really successful on TikTok is taking someone's dance and doing a duet with it. By the way, I haven't done this yet, but so it's not from experience. It's just from lurking. And even though you might be copying their dance moves, you're putting your own flair into it in a way that's funny. And when you can do that, when you can be confident enough to not just like do like the whatever they're doing, right? But like do it. Yeah. Yeah. But do it and add in your own fun. Like maybe just be like, you know, and just do like a funny thing that like catches people off guard because that's you. That makes it more people want to view it.
Yep.
I like that idea.
Love it. Well, we're definitely, I just wrote down my note to get that rolling for us, the Women Warned TikTok channel, because we'll do some Lucy and
do a dance and I'll
Lucy
do
and Ethel craziness.
Yes. Yes. And, and then Jen can duet it. I love it.
Yes, exactly.
I love it. Jen, we could talk to you forever. I miss your face in person. You know, just before all this happened, we kept talking about like coming to visit and and then this happened and still determined.
You were here and we were like quarantining. I was isolating myself from Jeffrey for 2 weeks because I had been traveling. I mean, we were like really strict about it.
And I respect that. But I need to see your face in person.
I know.
And a little Jeffrey.
We'll get out of time out soon, though.
Yeah.
Yes, you both need to come over.
We do. And a little Jeffrey time, too.
This was so fun.
So fun having you. Thank you so much for being on the show. Make sure that we get all the information for the babes so we can so we can promote that. And we want to be a be a big supporter of that because we are business babes. So we want to partner with you on that. And any information on the recovery program that we can promote and push out, that'd be awesome. So let's make sure that we have that. So thank you. Any for any of our Warners who want to get a hold of you, or you know, what's a good way for them to go directly to you?
DM me on Instagram and let me know you heard this episode. My Instagram is Jen Gittomer. It's really easy. JenGittomer. And I respond to every DM. I love meeting you guys. So just let me know that you heard this episode and we will chat about it.
Awesome.
And your favorite part.
Awesome. Thanks, girl. We love you.
I love you guys too. Thank you so much. This was so fun.
So fun.
Stay well.
You too.
And thanks to all of our Warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. To connect with me, Gina Tremarco, directly, you can go to womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com or to ginatremarco.com. And for Rachel,
you can find me all over social media as The Singing Lender or at singinglender.com. And of course, you can find all of our social media links, including Mr. Keith Walters, at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Yeah. And hey, if you love the show, share the love and share it with someone else. Pass the word to your friends and colleagues to watch this show and or listen, either one. And remember, keep on keeping it sexy. For the best relationships, you want to keep it real, raw, relevant, and what else?
A little irreverence doesn't hurt either, but a little resilience definitely helps.
We're adding the fifth R, resilience. I don't know why that wasn't in there in the first place. All right, Warners, have a good one. See ya. Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof, monkey, monkey.